You're listening to Growing in Christ, a ministry of LifePoint Church, featuring the teachings of Pastor Jeb Dodson. Join us today as we embark on an exciting adventure through the Word of God. Our hope and prayer is that you are blessed along this journey as you find a closer and fruitful personal relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here's Pastor Jeb Dodson with this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to welcome you to this great Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday that we're celebrating. We're so glad that you've decided to tune in here at LifePoint Church. I just would like to just give you a moment just to get ready to have church. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Just if you can, as you're at home or wherever you are, just take a moment, get yourself situated, get your Bible. This is Easter Sunday, the day which we celebrate, the day that Jesus rose from the grave on that third day. And because he rose, we have life. Well, if you're just now tuning in, I just want to thank you again and welcome you to our Easter service. We would just like to just continue to connect with you in every way possible, connect through Facebook, connect through the Band app, and I've been talking to so many of you on the phone. I'm just really excited that we can get back to the church again, to get back within the four walls and worship together. We have been praying twice a week in group prayer calls, and we have just been believing that God will use this as a time to revive our nation. Before we get into the Word, I just want to give you an opportunity to get your tithes and offerings. There's going to be a screen there in front of you, and that is our Tithely, just a reminder that you can give by Tithely. You can go to our website and give, and also there's a number that you can text to give. You can also just mail that in. I'm going to read this to you, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine." Praise the Lord. I believe we need that new wine that the Bible speaks of. Let's continue to honor God with our first fruits. Let's honor God with our tithe and with our offering. Today, I want to give you the third part in this series that we've been working on, this online series, and it's based around the Son of God movie. First, we had part one was A Step of Faith in the Storm, and you could watch that. These are all on our Facebook page, and it's all in our Band app. The first is A Step of Faith in the Storm, where Peter stepped out of the boat, and Jesus came walking on water as he told Peter to come out. Peter stepped out of that boat. Last Sunday, we focused on Palm Sunday as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and the title of that sermon was Hosanna in the Highest, and we watched a video clip there too. And so today, the title of the sermon that I want to bring you is The Greatest Comeback in History. Just give you a little background to this scripture I'm going to read in John chapter 11, starting in verse 21. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. But Lazarus has died, and Jesus takes his time to get to Lazarus. And even though he knows that his friend has died, he waits. And when he finally arrives, Lazarus has already died. He's in the tomb, and he begins to speak with Martha about this. And this is what it says in John 11, verse 21. It says, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Let's pray over the word. Father God, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that your word would just infuse life within us this morning. Let every person just have a true acknowledgement to the truth of your word and let it speak to us this morning. God, we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. The resurrection of Christ is the greatest power that has been unleashed on this planet. It's the greatest comeback in the history of the world, and that's the resurrection of Jesus. People love comeback stories like when David beat Goliath. We love that. We like to see the underdogs. You know, like in the national championship, if your team if happens to be that underdog and they make it, you know, we always just love that. I have seen the Dallas Cowboys come back in the fourth quarter so many times that I never count them out, and I always just watch the game to the end. Many of these comebacks have taken place within the last 2 minutes of the game, and if you're a Cowboys fan, you know what I'm talking about. Years ago, Sports Illustrated did an issue, and it's about the top 10 comebacks in history. They included people like Muhammad Ali, and they had non-sports things in their list too. Germany and Japan both made their list as comeback nations after World War II. But guess what was number one, the very top of the list on Sports Illustrated? The number one was this. It was Jesus Christ. This is what they wrote. Jesus Christ is number one because he confounds his critics and stuns the Roman authorities with his resurrection. It was the greatest comeback in history. Jesus explained it this way. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I want you to watch this video and we will see what it was like that day. Imagine if you were there that day in that upper room. Imagine maybe you are Thomas. And I would understand, I kind of relate to that because I'm a critical thinker too. It's, listen, there's no evidence of this, what you're saying. You're just emotionally distraught. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the room. Imagine placing yourself in that moment, how great that moment must have been, where he holds out his hands and you could see the holes. You can see the hole in his side and he just begins to speak. I cannot even think of what that would be like. And we could only just imagine, just like the directors of this great film, just imagine what it must have been like. I want to bring you through the four Gospels very quickly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John expresses four types of people. Matthew addressed the Jewish nation, that was religious people. He focused on Jesus' credentials as a Jew and the Messiah. Mark addressed the Romans. They were realists. They were rational people. He concentrated more on Jesus' actions. Luke addressed the Greeks, who were the thinkers. He brought out a lot of Jesus's teachings. And John, I guess you could say, was just for everyone else, the gospel of love. He showed us Jesus as God in the flesh. But each of these writers that I want to draw out gives us a reason of why Jesus's resurrection matters. I want to ask a question. What does the resurrection have to do with us? And you may have asked that before. What does the resurrection have to do with my life? Can the resurrection actually impact my life just like it impacted the disciples? Can the resurrection help me through this worldwide pandemic that we're in? There's four great comebacks that I want to focus on that Jesus gives us. Because Christ lives, we can live. Because he came back, you can come back. From each of the four Gospels, let's look at four great comebacks that you're assured of because of his resurrection. Number one, out of Matthew, this is what we get. In Matthew, we can come back from despair. Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 and 6 says this, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" Because of the resurrection, we can come back from despair. In America today, there's more people who are struggling with hopelessness, despair, discouragement, out of work, the finances are being stretched, people around them are sick and possibly dying. How do you bounce back from that? How do you bounce back in this economy? How do you bounce back in the situation that we're in? How do you bounce back from losing your job or maybe losing a loved one? How do you bounce back from losing someone you so deeply care about? In other words, how do you bounce back at all from anything? And it doesn't look like the government is the answer. They are scrambling and, I guess, doing the very best they can. Americans all over are wondering, is there anything that we can count on when now we've discovered we can't count on anything? Is there any foundation that is solid enough to hold my life so it can't be taken away? Matthew paints this picture of people in deep despair by introducing a woman who's deeply discouraged. Mary Magdalene is there with the other Mary, and they're sitting around staring at a grave. Now, that's discouragement. The next morning, they probably say, let's just go out to the grave again today. So they head back to the grave. They're not thinking that we're going to see Jesus. They're not expecting anything. They're totally hopeless. They're filled with despair. They're going to watch a grave again for the day. Then everything changes. Here's the message that replaces despair with hope. The angel said these words, "He is not here. He is risen just as he said." Those three words, "he is risen." They're the reasons that millions of people from all over are tuning in to an online service this morning when the church doors are closed. Why? Because he is risen. Because Jesus has risen from the grave, people discover finally, there's something I can count on. And when you begin to count on Jesus, he gives you hope. And when you get hope, anything is possible in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, with your finances. Anything's possible. Without hope, it doesn't matter, because without hope, nothing is possible. So these women walked to this tomb, hopeless, filled with despair. They heard the news that Jesus Christ was risen, and they walked away filled with hope. And right then, anything became possible for these women. Matthew says that because of Christ's resurrection, you too can come back from despair. Next in Mark, we have this. Out of Mark, we can get this message. We can come back from defeat. In the book of Mark, we learn that because of the resurrection, defeat is not the end. You can come back from it. Mark chapter 15, verse 43. I'll read through verse 46. It says, "Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead, summoning the centurion. He asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of a tomb." So here's a story of a man who staked his entire reputation on believing in Jesus. The leaders that he served with on this council he was on, they were completely against Jesus. They would do everything that they could do to make sure that this so-called Messiah would die and be completely forgotten. Joseph, instead of listening to his friends, listening to his fellow leaders, went totally against the grain. He went out on a limb and went to hear Jesus for himself. This was an act that would ruin his reputation to the point of no return. Not even his wealth could buy his way out of this deep hole that he dug himself in by aligning himself to Jesus. He put all his faith into this man, and he truly believed that this could be the one all of Israel was hoping for. This could very well be the Messiah that the prophet spoke of. So Joseph got behind this Jesus, stuck his neck out for this Jesus, and then Jesus died. What a huge blow to take. He ruined his future with a council, and now Jesus is dead. Joseph did the only thing in his heart, what he felt was right. He took the body of Jesus, wrapped him in cloth and spices, and chose to honor his leader even in death. He could have tried to save his relationship with the council. He could have backpedaled. He could have made a story. I was coerced. I was paid. He could have made up any kind of story, but that's not what he did. He simply kept the faith. That was on Friday, the day that our Savior died. But Jesus rose from the tomb 3 days later. The stone was rolled away, and that cloth that Joseph wrapped Jesus in, it was gently, neatly folded in its place. It was a sign maybe Jesus was saying, thank you for keeping the faith. Thank you for just honoring and believing in me. If you place your faith in Jesus this morning, your faith, like Joseph of Arimathea, will not be in vain. You cannot suffer defeat if you remain on the side that wins in the end. In the Gospel of Luke, this is what we can get out of that, that we can come back from doubt. Just as you can bounce back from despair, you can bounce back from defeat, you can bounce back from doubt. Luke is the gospel written to the Greeks. These were the philosophers. Luke was writing to thinkers, to skeptics. Some of us are just wired to be skeptical. Is that you this morning where you just need proof? You need to see it. You need to see the numbers. You need to see where it all lines up. You may be surprised that there are people who are watching with you this morning who are once atheists, once agnostics, people from other religions. They thought the Bible was full of myths, misconceptions, and even errors. They thought that there was no evidence to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. Some may have even talked people out of believing prior to becoming a believer themselves. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and this is what he says in Acts. He says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. That's Acts 1:3. After Jesus' suffering, he gave what? Many convincing proofs. The Bible is saying, never believe anything without solid evidence, without convincing proof. And here's what Luke recorded about Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 says this. Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Look at that last sentence. Everything must be what? Fulfilled. That was written in by the law of Moses, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, and it also mentions the prophets and the Psalms. Now I want to give you some background about this, and this is really cool. When you study this, the evidence of the resurrection is so compelling. It is so just riddled with all the proof of it. It's difficult not to believe, but for two reasons we believe. One, it is true, and two, it works. There's overwhelming evidence that it is true. And does it work? Well, ask anybody else who is watching this morning. Just connect with somebody else who believes in God's word. Now, the Old Testament was written at a minimum of 450 years before Jesus. What's crazy about the Old Testament is that in Psalm chapter 22, Isaiah chapter 53, those two passages describe in detail the crucifixion of the Son of God. And do you want to know what's amazing about that? When the Old Testament was written, crucifixion wasn't even invented yet. The Bible prophesied about crucifixion, and crucifixion wasn't even a thing yet. It did not exist. Our third point, because of the resurrection, you can bounce back from doubt. You can have solid faith. Now, my final point is this, and we get from John. I've been through Matthew and then to Mark, Luke, and now John. John, we can get out of this. In that gospel, it says, we can come back from death. Because of the resurrection, we can come back from death itself. Well, how does that even work? Let's look at John chapter 21. I'm going to read you verse 13 through 15. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. See, that scene took place after Jesus was crucified. I don't know if you know, if you've ever thought about this, about death, but everyone who is watching this service online, do you know what they all have in common? In 120 years, everyone is either going to be raptured or dead. That is the truth of the matter. Rapture means caught up with Jesus. If not, they will be dead. We all have that in common. Only a fool would spend their entire life knowing that something was going to happen and fail to prepare for it. See, there is a heaven. There is a risen Savior. It's real. Because it's real, your future can be secure. John 11, 25 and 26 says this, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus was showing us that by believing in him, we will have life even after death. You can have a confident assurance of life when you are connected with Jesus. Because he rose, you also will rise. That is the good news. So think about it. There's two sides to this message. One side, there is despair, there is defeat, there is death. Doesn't that feel like the world that we are in and we are experiencing right now? Today, people are completely filled with despair and hopelessness. People feel defeated. They're racked with doubt, not knowing what to count on. But because of the resurrection, we don't have to get stuck in despair. We can live with hope. And when we have hope, as I said, anything is possible. Because Jesus came back, we can use that same resurrection power by receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. We receive that resurrection power and it is flowing through us, and we can come back from anything that we face. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. If you've watched the video and you've watched these testimonies, and maybe that you aren't a believer, I just want to close, and I just want to invite you to believe in Jesus today. Father God, we pray that you would just keep us focused on what you're doing and focus on the resurrection and focus that you are empowering our lives to walk in victory in you. God, I pray if there's any person who is just compelled, Lord, to just put their faith in you, God, I pray that they would just do that now in Jesus' name and that they would just bring in that joy through your spirit that you are providing even now. God, we thank you and we praise you as we celebrate Resurrection Day. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Growing in Christ, a ministry of LifePoint Church. If you are in the Crockett area, we would love for you to come and experience LifePoint Church for yourself. We hope you will find, like so many others, the joy and love felt from the presence of God in our church family. Together, we are better. For directions and times of worship, visit us on Facebook at LifePoint Church Crockett or call us at 936-544-8562. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.